The Adventures of Indiana Jim, number 22A, spoiler-free review of Star Trek for Friday, May 9th, 2009.
And now, coming to you not exactly live from...
The Cliffs of Insanity!
A man who needs no introduction. That international man of geekery. That intrepid arch-geekologist, Indiana Jim.
Don't tell me you've never heard of me.
I'll explain, and I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
You, boy, are arrogant, hot-tempered, entirely too bold.
I like that. Reminds me of me.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, grace. Stupidity.
I have entertained in all the courts of Europe and speak a ready wit in their every tongue.
I told you I was famous.
Indiana Jim, Indiana Jim. This is London calling. Come in, please.
Hello, friends, fans, and listeners from all around the globe. This is Indiana Jim, your intrepid arch-geekologist, podcasting's Swiss Army knife. Welcome into the show, everyone. This is the spoiler-free review of Star Trek. I did have the opportunity to see this film on Friday. Was that opening day? I don't remember. Honestly, I couldn't tell you. It was a matinee, of course, and being job-free, as I like to call it, commitment-free, I was able to go and watch by myself. No friends. Well, you know, a few good friends with me that were Star Trek fans and mostly adult. Welcome, everyone. Voicemail 206-666-2826. You might want to disagree with me. The spoilerific review will come later. Not sure if it'll be the same day, probably tomorrow being Saturday. Maybe Sunday, Monday. I don't know. Hopefully it'll happen soon. I don't want to make this too extensive because it's hard to get really extensive on a spoiler-free review. You can't really give much of the plot away. Really, all I can do is tell you what I thought of it going in, what I thought I would get out of it, and what I liked about it, how I think it did. Give you a scale of 5 or 10 or whatever. Don't want to use pants. That obviously belongs to the boys at Geek Radio Daily. Geek Radio Daily. Over at geekradiodaily.com. So, what do I think of J.J. Abrams' Star Trek? Well, going into it, honestly, my thought was this. I didn't expect it to be either really close to what we were used to or a major departure from what we're used to. I expected it to flow somewhere around the middle. Now, as a caveat, I will say I'm not the biggest Star Trek fan you'll find. The only technical things I know are dilithium crystals, Jeffrey's tube, and phaser. That's pretty much it. Warp, you know. I know the basics. I couldn't tell you the specifications of the Enterprise versus the other ship. I couldn't even tell you the other ships out there, honestly. It's not that big a deal to me. Couldn't tell you why Klingons are better than Romulans or worse than Romulans. I don't even know how Vulcans and Romulans are connected, but I just know they are. Here's the thing, as Monk would say. I do not look at Star Trek the same way I look at Star Wars. And if I must say, I guess I approach Star Trek a bit more logically than I do Star Wars. Obviously, I see Star Wars as a fantasy, and I see Star Trek more as science fiction, though with a bit of fantasy elements built in. I kind of was worried. I was worried that in this effort to modernize Trek, they would do things to it that would really drastically change things. And let's say there are some things that change. But this isn't like a separate world. This is not a prequel in the sense that The Phantom Menace is a prequel. Okay, this is not to show exactly, precisely how everyone came to the place that they were, okay? It's neither really new, nor is it really a faithful remake. Number one, you can't really reproduce stuff from the 1960s series. It just doesn't work. You can't really reproduce what happened in the Next Generation, which occurred after the films. You can't reproduce what happened with the films because this movie comes before those. I will say this far and away blows Enterprise out of the water, the series completely out of the water. Okay? And it's not cheesy like First Contact was kind of cheesy. Okay, admit it. It was pretty cheesy. I like the Star Trek movies, don't get me wrong. In fact, I like all of them, even the ones that people say are crap. You know, hey, I like Phantom Menace. Hello, Voyage Home isn't that hard for me to accept. So stuff that in your...
I got a bad feeling about this.
I'm not going to finish that. Stuff that in your Jeffrey's tube. Oh, that was... Oh, it was great. So... Logically, let's see. From the character standpoint, I like what they did with the characters. I like that certain elements change aspects of certain characters' relationships. I won't go any farther than that. I love, of course, Zachary Quinto's Spock is wonderful, very well played. But I have to say that Carl Urban's Dr. McCoy was perhaps even better. I absolutely loved Carl Urban's Dr. McCoy. When he first comes on the scene, he's just got the personality nailed down. The facial expressions, the vocal patterns. I think the only one that rivals him, in my opinion, you know, Quinto you expect to be good because we've all seen it. But the other one was Chekhov. I really did not know what to expect from Chekhov, and he's got the voice down pat. Even his twabble with wheeze. That nuclear vessel. I'm throwing in a little Barbara Walters. And it just did. Give it a feminine side. You know, the nuclear vessel. Yeah, that's funny. It's pretty funny. He doesn't say nuclear vessel. Okay, I'm just. Please. That's another thing. They didn't really go all out with a lot of cheesy homages. You know, they threw in some lines that you expect. And the interesting thing is that they didn't make Christopher Pine try to be William Shatner. That I think that's something I appreciate because it would have just come off as almost too much, you know? I think the way they connect things is brilliant. I think this has to be the best Star Trek movie that we've seen. Search for Spock, I think, was good. Wrath of Khan, of course, was great. But as far as a film that everyone can embrace, I think Abrams really did a good job with this. Now, maybe the Uber fans, I don't know what the Uber fans are going to say, because I'm sure you'll have those that will complain about something. You have Star Wars fans to complain about The Phantom Menace. You have non-Star Wars fans that complain about The Phantom Menace. I don't think casual Star Trek fans can look at this and go, eh, not so good. If you're expecting the flavor of the original Star Trek, you're not going to get that here. Just put that out of your mind. You are not going to get... Like Abrams said, this is not your father's Star Trek. This is not our Star Trek that we grew up on, us 30-somethings, okay? We grew up on a completely different Star Trek. My favorite series happens to be The Next Generation. I just prefer it. And I respect the original series, and I enjoy watching the original series. But I have to say my favorite is TNG. This really separates itself from all the other Star Treks that came after. This really sort of has a gritty realism. And it's just not an uber geek fest. Okay? And I gotta say, the only romantic relationship in the film, they really, really pull off very well, in my opinion. And it's interesting how it comes about. And you can tune into the spoilerific review later on if you want to. But I have to say the plot was believable. The special effects, of course, were outstanding. It just, you can't get away from special effects anymore. And you're also not going to find a movie with bad special effects, I don't think. The temptation is, of course, to go overboard with the effects. And I don't think they do this with this. They really didn't dwell on any gratuitous effect shots, I don't think. I think they tried to stay in the realm of realism, unlike some special effects in the upcoming G.I. Joe movie that I saw on the preview, which I will not go into. It was good to see a certain captain make an appearance in this film, not just Kirk. Okay. The things they did with... Let's talk about continuity real quick. I'm not going to get into any of the plot details. I will not say they butchered continuity, because in Star Trek, the word continuity really is a bad word. Okay, a four-letter word like continuity. C-N-T-Y. Wait a minute. That's bad. It's not like in Star Trek. You have something come out, and then people complain, and Leland Chi over at Lucas Licensing has to come out with a statement saying how this all fits in the Star Wars universe. This is not the Clone Wars, okay? This is not something where there's some semblance of continuity and everything's supposed to fit. Star Trek, there is no continuity, okay? Plain and simple. There's enough people, there's no Roddenberry canon, you know? That's not as strong as, say, Lucas canon. There's enough stuff that's happened in the Star Trek universe that it's kind of all over the place. Unless, of course, you take the continuity of the motion pictures. The way they address it in this movie, I kind of like it. It does sort of open it up for a new, perhaps, series of films in the Star Trek universe. But I can't say that I'm really necessarily looking forward to it. I'm sure it'll be exciting. I'm sure it will be great. Maybe. I don't know. They could go anywhere with it. And frankly, I think if they do go anywhere with it, they're going to upset tons of people. But it doesn't matter. We've got the original movies. We've got the original series. They're not going to come out with a new series. I really doubt. You know, for all intents and purposes, with Star Trek and Star Wars, not sure where else they can go except expanded universe, obviously, like Star Wars did, with just continuations upon continuation upon continuation of Legacy of the Force and all this stuff. It's kind of at the point now where none of it really matters. So I have to say that I really enjoyed this movie. I didn't have a ton of expectations going into it. I would say 9 out of 10, you know, kind of a 4.5 out of 5 sort of deal. Only reason being, nothing blew me away about it. It was just fun. And that's the sense that I got out of this. It was more fun than the other Star Treks. There's just some quality about the other films, whether you've got Kirk or you've got Picard. It's sort of a Crystal Skull-like quality, where the main character's a little old. Sort of stuff that's not feasible. There's no nuclear fridges in this movie, which is okay. There were a lot of funny moments in this film. Just, you know, it was just a downright good movie, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not going to say it's the greatest thing ever. It's probably the best Star Trek movie ever made. Maybe not. You know, it's all about loyalties. It's all about, oh, I love Captain Kirk, or oh, I don't love Captain Kirk, or I love Ricardo Montalban. Khan, you know, whatever. You guys take your favorites. That's fine. It's the most well-crafted film, without being cheesy. You know, and it's hard to do. It's hard to throw in homages to the original without being cheesy, without having it seem forced. And it just wasn't. It just seemed natural. So that's my take on it, and perhaps we'll engage in a more thorough review of it. So I'm sure a lot of you out there have a take on this. You may think I'm wrong, you may think I'm crazy, you may think I'm a little loopy in the head. That's okay. Call the voicemail, 206-666-2826, and leave your comment. It will get aired, no matter how insulting, or how negative, or how positive, or whatever. It's going to get on. And also email me, podcast@indianajim.net. Stay tuned for the spoilerific review of Star Trek.
You've been listening to The Adventures of Indiana Jim, a production of Visionary Creative Works. Visit podcast.indianajim.net and leave comments on the blog. Send in your emails and audio feedback to podcast@indianajim.net. I'm Dr. John Small. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.